Quick, name the top three things you would want in an exceptional caregiver. If you ask me, who's hired over 300 professional caregivers in the last 8 years of running a home care agency, here's my answer. Compassion, and yes, you guessed it, compassion. But what is compassion? Do you have to be born with it? Does it really have an impact? A study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology showed that 40 seconds, let me say that again, 40 seconds of compassionate communication from a doctor reduced anxiety and increased confidence among patients who had breast cancer. In hospice care, compassionate communication may very well enhance the experience that an individual receiving hospice care will have. And also, it'll help the caregiver who's providing that care and give them greater satisfaction. But I know what you're thinking. That's easier said than done, Zach. Well, not really. Look at the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. He walked around and he didn't think he had a heart the whole time. But when he was faced with various circumstances, he showed that he really did. Or here's a better one. Ebenezer Scrooge from The Christmas Carol. What a transformation he made by seeing actual suffering. He became quite a compassionate man by the end of that story. Yes, I know these are fictional stories. You probably want to know, does this really work in real life? Well, let's hear from a professional caregiver who has a very big heart and is very compassionate.
It's true. They don't know you. They don't know how you are going to handle them. They find it difficult to be nice with you, to mingle with you. When I get there, I mention her name and I embrace her and I introduce myself to her. You have a lot of patience? And I said, yes, I'm here to take care of you. I'm your daughter. I'm your friend. So open your heart and welcome me into your house and you will like me. And she said, okay. And we all laugh with her daughters.
This is Raising Rents Podcast Episode 3, where we continue our series on the 9 beginner steps to raising parents. In this episode, we talk about Step 5, be compassionate, and Step 6, be respectful. Go back to Episode 1 and 2 to hear about Steps 1 through 4. Raising Rents is a show about everything you need to know in raising your parents or aging adult. Thank you for taking the time to listen. This episode is dedicated to the legacy of James Ward, a former client of mine, a man I deeply respected, and was a great example of compassion and respect. Stick around at the end of the show, and I'll tell you why.
Hello, Rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife Phyllis and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host. And welcome to the Raising Rents Podcast. By the way, this show is made possible with the support of Comfort Care. Comfort Care is a national home care provider, and they truly do help you live your best life possible. Beginner steps to raising parents. Step 5, be compassionate. Stanford School of Medicine has a Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education Department. And they define compassion as follows. It is an emotion that provides a sense of shared suffering combined with a desire to alleviate the suffering of others and to show loving kindness to those who suffer. Now, you can look at compassion in a scientific sense, or you can look at it in a more practical sense. There's a group called the Charter for Compassion, and their vision is to create a more compassionate world, and you can find information about them on a website, which, by the way, anything we share on our show, we have links to them in our show notes that you can find on our website at www.raisingrents.com. Now, the Charter for Compassion, which, by the way, I also borrowed the story of Ebenezer Scrooge from them, they summarized compassion as follows. 1, you notice suffering. 2, you're going to feel empathetic. And 3, you're going to take action to get rid of that suffering. The bigger question, though, is compassion inherent, or is it something that can be learned, or is it a little bit of both? They say we all have compassion in us.
I was raised with my grandmom, so she's the one who taught me everything until I grown up and get married.
Patience Botchway, who is the professional caregiver that opened up the show, who I'm honored and privileged to have as an employee of my agency, was riding with me in the car one day, and I turned to her and I asked her, how did you become such a great caregiver?
You learn how to cook from your grandmother, you learn how to take care of people, how to be nice.
Yeah.
You do that.
And in woman.
By the way, that rattling you hear in the background, those are empty jars that are sitting on the back seat of my truck, and they belong to patients, along with two big bags of clothes and personal possessions. You see, Patience is a live-in caregiver. And what that means is that she actually lives with the client that she cares for 7 days a week under the same roof, constantly caring for her needs. And today, I'm taking her home for a much-needed rest, re-energize herself, get some new clothes, and fill those jars up with her food from her own culture, which is in Ghana, West Africa. You see, this is an important lesson for all caregivers. You need to take a break. You need to replenish your energy. You need to be sure that you're providing the same amount of compassion and energy that you were for that individual on the very first day you met them. Now let's get back to patience.
Who taught you that? Your grandmother taught
you? Yeah, my grandmother is somebody who is very calm, who is humble, who doesn't want misunderstanding between two people. She always want peace. So everything she do, she do it in peacefully. She's kind, she's nice. And everything that she would do, she want to do something that will please people.
Yes.
That will bring people close to him or her.
So role models help us learn a lot about compassion, just like anything else in life. But there are other resources out there that can help us become more compassionate. Educate, AGEUCATE, is an organization that teaches and trains caregivers to be better caregivers. They talk about ways to cultivate your compassion. For example, they provide an exercise that involves things like sitting comfortably, preparing to meditate, directing your loving kindness to yourself first. Remember step one, be good to yourself. Picturing those that you care about and picturing someone that you want to send compassion to, taking deep breaths throughout this process will help you refocus, because compassion isn't easy if you're doing it all the time or if you're doing it in large amounts. In fact, there's something called compassion fatigue. Ann Catlin, who's an occupational therapist and a licensed massage therapist, also works for Educate. She writes an article about compassion fatigue. She shares with us that there are some symptoms to be aware of. For example, withdrawing from others, difficulty connecting with the person that you're caring for, feeling angry that you're not appreciated, turning to some compulsive behaviors like overeating or drinking too much alcohol, and physical symptoms like headaches and gastrointestinal issues. And she also shares some things you can do to avoid compassion fatigue, such as assess your self-care and stay physically active. Again, step one, be good to yourself. Try deep breathing. Check your support system. Join a caregiving support group. We talked about that in episode two, being resourceful. Also include some fun each day and care for your spiritual self. I've had the opportunity to witness some tremendous compassion by some of the great caregivers we have in our agency. I've also felt the impact that my own compassion has had. I've walked through nursing homes in the past, and I'll see someone that I know or recognize, and with their permission, I'll either give them a hug or a kiss on the cheek, or shake their hand, or put my hand on their shoulder, and immediately you'll see them sitting straight up. They'll have a better posture, big bright smile. They'll make eye contact. They'll want to engage in some conversation. It's tremendous what a little bit of compassion can have on someone that might be suffering or is suffering. Now, you don't have to be there in person to give compassion. My wife, Phyllis, shares some insights on that.
Probably the biggest example of compassion is from a daughter that wasn't even in town with her father, but she was all the way across the country. She called us more, emailed us more, was really on us more than any other sibling, child, or spouse that was locally just because she wasn't there. How's he doing? I want daily updates. What can I do to help? What can I do to help you? You know, how can I order food online? What else can I do? And I think it was just, you know, somebody that wanted to be involved, so like they were actually there living with the parent.
Beginner steps to raising your parents. Step 6, be respectful. You know, this one should be easy. We all know the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to. Respect is earned, not given. But then, why is it so hard? I was raised to respect my elders, calling them Mr. and Mrs. unless they told me to call them something else. I even asked if I needed to take my shoes off anytime I ever entered a potential client's house. I would get funny looks from them, but it was just an old habit of mine. Before I got into this caregiving business, I always ran up and tried to help an elder with something, even if they didn't ask. I've learned since then that that may not be the most respectful way to do that. Helen Mintz, she said I can call her Helen, by the way, who is a client of ours, has been on previous episodes. She has a perspective on this.
I notice if I go on, I'm in certain places, people, it's almost embarrassing. They jump up and ask me to sit down, and I don't even like that. Then it seems as though I'm older than I really am. But I think, why are they doing that? What do I look like that they would think that I have to sit down? And of course I do. Am I really that person, you know? In a way, it's very nice. I think my kids realize I'm a very withered person, so that they really respect my judgment, and I don't think anybody tells me what to do or orders me what to, me to do things. But this particular daughter, the psychologist, says, Mom, I want to go to the doctor with you. And so she does, and she understands how to deal with them.
Does she ask, or does she tell you?
She said, Mom, it's better if two people listen to it, because sometimes, and I know that, very nervous. Maybe you're agitated and you're not thinking clearly. And so when I felt that she was absolutely right.
I am guilty sometimes of raising my voice in frustration over the phone to my mother when she is refusing to heed my advice. Man, do I feel like a jerk after I get off the phone. I call her, of course, and apologize. And I try to blame it on my Greek emotional roots. But you know what? There's no excuse for it. I can't stop and think about how I get so embarrassed for my clients when their adult kids are talking disrespectfully to them right in front of me, or if a client, on the other hand, does the same thing to their kids or caregivers. There should be zero tolerance for disrespectful behavior on both sides of the table. As someone once gave me very good advice, respect what you expect. Here's Patience. She's talking about her grandmother and how her grandmother gave respect to everyone, regardless of their age, and how she deserved it. And in return, Patience honored her with her wishes by not letting her get lazy.
Whether you are a kid or you are a young or you are old, she respects everybody. Yeah. Respect is the most important thing in life. But she was strong doing everything by herself. Uh-huh. So I wanted to get her somebody to replace me. So, and she said no, she will be too lazy. So she wants to be alone. And
Phyllis shares some insights on this topic as well.
I think sometimes, you know what, is it that painful just to let the person say the story again? It's probably gonna take 1 minute, listen to it, acknowledge it, and then move on. Bite your tongue. It's just not worth it to hurt somebody's feelings, to remind them that they've already done something, or if it's your parent and you know, they're telling you, they're asking, I guess a common thing that we hear is they'll ask the aide their name about 5 times in about 5 minutes. They usually just sit there and say their name over and over again. To say, I've already told you my name, or usually the child will say, Mom, you weren't listening, she already told you her name. It's not worth it. Just let her keep telling you the name. It doesn't matter, it's not gonna hurt anybody. I always like to remind myself that we're invited to care for people at such a private time in their life. And if we can't respect that period of their life, then we have no business doing what we're doing. It's an honor to be part of someone and caring for them and their everyday life at the end of it. And we need to be respectful and patient with them.
Thank you for listening to Raising Rents. Please join me next week as we continue our series on learning about the 9 beginner steps to raising parents for an aging adult. I also want to thank you for such great feedback on iTunes. It really helps me to know that this show is bringing you some value. Thank you to Firebird, MJ Murphy, Micro Yaya, Rio James, Justin D. Williams, Patrick, Caring for Seniors in Tennessee, De La Rosa, oh yeah, my buddy Gary, my son Costa, and his buddy, and my buddy, Dimitris Propolis. If you have feedback, resources to share, a question, or a great story, please email me, raisingrents@gmail.com, or go to our website, www.raisingrents.com, and contact us there. You can also tweet at Raising Rents Pod and join our Facebook group, Raising Rents Podcast. We can put your question in a future show or have you star in a future show. I look forward to hearing from you. Have a great week, and remember, our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later. This show was dedicated to one of my clients, James F. Ward. He passed away February 17th of this year at the age of 87. I was honored to have met him, and I do miss him. He was the epitome of respect and compassion. As a very sick man for the last few years, his only priority was to take care of his wife, Shirley. He always respected and thanked all the caregivers who cared for him and his wife. We had long conversations about life late in the day when I should have been in the office doing paperwork. I called him Mr. Ward the first time I met him, and he smiled at me like a proud father, to which he answered, "Please call me Jim." He was known always as being true and dear. You can see that he very well earned that title because he was always giving back, and he was always genuine. He recruited for his alma mater, Yale. He was a mentor to many youth. He served in Korea as an officer in the Marines. He did a lot of fundraising, a lot of volunteering, and he was an incredible family man and husband to Shirley. Jim, I miss your humor, sarcasm, and words of wisdom. I will hold to my promise to keep taking care of Shirley just like you asked me to.